just to continue with the idea of the place for it, first, just turn over the page in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And perhaps somebody can read just the first two verses there, and then we'll go into Proverbs and see what Brother Mark was alluding to, that there is a place for the expression of our sexuality. Someone read, as I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2.
Now concerning the things you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband.
Very clear there. I mean, it tells about touch. It really infers sexual activity, sexual union, and so on. Proverbs chapter 5. Brother Mark alluded to it earlier. Proverbs chapter 5. And there's a lot more in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that right now, but there's a lot more in there. And we'll come back to that another time. Proverbs chapter 5. When you read Proverbs chapter 5, the first part, you have Solomon is speaking to this young man and warning him about the dangers of an immoral woman. You know? And I will say this right now. I remember when I was younger, I was encouraged somewhere along the line, as a young man, read the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in it, one chapter per day, depending on what month you're in. But I feel that as a middle-aged man and getting older, still read the book of Proverbs. It will keep us from a lot of evil. So the book of Proverbs. So that first part, you look at it, the dangers. I can just, for instance, verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. So that's pretty serious. Now, if you, on the other hand, look at verse 15. You know, so that's a negative in one sense. Be careful of the immoral woman. Verse 15, drink water from your own cisterns, running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed. And this is what Brother Mark was alluding to earlier. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. Mm-hmm. This is scripture. This is what the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to write. This is from God. And the context is within the marriage relationship. One other passage I'm going to turn to before we move on from this theme. Turn to the Song of Solomon. And I must confess to you that I am not, you know, I have not studied this book well over the years. I really haven't. It's what I call one of the clean pages of my Bible. I really haven't studied it. But you know what? Because of this study, and my brothers here encouraged me, I read it twice through. And I'm enjoying it. And I would encourage everybody, read it. Read it. And if you look at it in chapter, here was I, chapter 4, somebody get to chapter 4. If you read in chapter 4, in fact, somebody can read from in chapter 4, quickly, verses 1 through to 7. Very quickly.
Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Sorry, how far are we going?
Go to verse 7. Go to verse 7.
Verse 7, okay. Verse 4, all right. So your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountains of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you.
Okay. To be honest, when you read the book of this particular book, there are different views. One of obviously Christ and the church, God for Israel, God's love for Israel and so on. But another one is between the bridegroom, a husband, and a wife, a newly married. This is what we're describing here. Mm-hmm. And this is not unholy. You see how he admires her. There are 7 points, which we don't have time to go through this. And some of it is using imagery that we would have to really do some work on. But here is him admiring. This, I believe, from what I've read, seems to be the wedding night. He's admiring the beauty in the person he's married. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. But if you turn over the page, and we don't have time to go into it, what really came home to me as I read through this, that these sentiments are mutual. If you look in chapter 5 and verses 10 all the way through to verse 16, it ends up with, this is chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, his mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, and so on. So you see, if you read through it, and you read through this book, it describes, it's really a beautiful picture of the normal relationship between a man and a woman within the context of the marriage relationship that God has created. It's beautiful. So we want to get the point here that marriage, intimacy within marriage is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing created by God for the purposes that we've described. Any comments, questions before we move on?